It's not a brain tumor, is it?
I'm dyslexic.
Dude, you learn to read when you're six. That's first grade. And they separate you into these levels. They don't tell you that's what they're doing. But everyone knows who's in the smart group and who's in the dumb one.
On average, one or two children in every U.S. classroom has dyslexia, a learning disability that makes reading difficult, sometimes painfully so, as that clip we just heard from the TV show Glee suggests. But new research is showing that it's possible to detect signs of dyslexia in the brain even before kids learn to read. And as WBUR's Rachel Zimmerman from the Here Now Contributors Network explains, that could influence how educators help dyslexic students.
Sixth grader Josh Tebow has been struggling to read for as long as he can remember. He has yet to complete a single Harry Potter book, his personal goal. As part of a research study at Boston Children's Hospital on the genetics of dyslexia, Josh has undergone regular brain scans since first grade.
When we first started, I'm like, oh no, you're setting me to like some strange like science lab where I'm going to be like injected with needles and I'm never going to see my family again.
In the past, and sometimes even today, kids who struggle to read have been thought to lack motivation or smarts. Now it's clear that's not true. Dyslexia stems from physiological differences in the brain's circuitry. Those differences can make it harder for children to process the basic components of language. And it's much more complex than just flipping your B's and D's. Learning to read involves mapping the sounds of spoken language, the k, the a, the t, to their corresponding letters, and then understanding how those letter symbols, the C, A, and T, can create words with meaning. Kids with dyslexia have far more trouble mastering these steps automatically. Josh Tebow understands that his brain works differently than many of his peers. Some kids still don't get it.
There was a student that came up and said, "Are you stupid?" Because my brain was working in a different way, and I'm just like, "No, I am not stupid. I am just dyslexic."
For many children, the path toward reading is often marked by academic struggle and social stigma. But current collaborations between neuroscientists at MIT and Boston Children's Hospital may mark a fundamental shift in addressing dyslexia. Neuroscientist Nadine Gobb of Children's Hospital theorizes that even at birth or shortly after, children's brain structures can show signs of developing the disorder. Her hope is that ultimately, the current research will trickle down to classrooms and help eliminate what she calls the dyslexia paradox.
Several studies have suggested that intervention is most effective in kindergarten or first grade. However, you have to have several years of reading failure before you can get a diagnosis of dyslexia, the end of second grade, beginning of third grade. So we have this paradox here.
The researchers are finding that scanning the brains of kindergartners can help improve predictions of how the children will master reading later on. Using cutting-edge MRI technology, the scientists are able to pinpoint a specific neural pathway that appears to be related to dyslexia. It's called the arcuate fasciculus.
It's an arch-shaped bundle of fibers that connects the frontal language areas of the brain to the areas in the temporal lobe that are important for language.
Elizabeth Norton, a neuroscientist at MIT's McGovern Institute for Brain Research, says we're not quite ready to simply take a picture of your child's brain and say, aha, this kid is going to have dyslexia. But we're getting closer to that point.
We see that in children who in kindergarten already have strong pre-reading scores, their arcuate fasciculus is both bigger and more well-organized. So we can see a child with a score of zero has a very small and not particularly well-organized arcuate fasciculus.
Maybe the most surprising aspect of the research so far is how clear a signal we see in the brains of children who are likely to go on to be poor readers.
MIT neuroscientist John Gabrielli says that if the kindergarten study's brain imaging and other metrics prove to be predictive, new questions will arise.
The bigger challenges for us now soon will be to figure out what kind of interventions can be done in a 4-year-old or a 3-year-old that might put her or him on a different pathway altogether. You know, can we have a child arrive at school who'll be ready to read and not wait for failure at all, but have intervened so early that the child never experiences that failure at all?
The point of early identification, says Gabrielli, is to help kids avoid the stigma of dyslexia.
The social downsides to late identification are quite severe. These children who struggle to read are very aware of where they stand relative to their peers.
Yes. I would be chased down the hallway
This one boy, he's like, you should know how to read by now. You're in seventh grade.
Caitlin, Lily, Sarah, and Aisha are eighth graders at the Carroll School, a private school that specializes in language-based learning disabilities. The girls told me about some of the strategies they used to keep their dyslexia a secret.
I can't see it. I have glasses. That's what I used to say.
Yeah.
I would be like, oh, I just lost my place, and then I would skip that word, and hopefully no one would realize and call me on it. Yeah. So
I used to just, like, mumble over the word or, like, say it really quietly and pretend like I said it.
When you talk to an eighth grader who struggled for 9 years in a general educational environment, she spent a great deal of effort trying to figure out how to do something that was really difficult for her. A small intervention early on could potentially have a huge, huge impact on a person's life.
Dr. Eric Falk is director of cognitive interventions and research at the Carroll School. He says Carroll is ready to start earlier intervention right now.
Here's the bottom line. It's like, we've wanted to do this for many years, and we are ready to start a kindergarten if there's enough interest from the community.
So wouldn't it be great if all kids with dyslexia could get support, like very small classes and one-on-one individualized tutoring much earlier, and not just those lucky enough to go to specialized private schools?
When we started these studies, we approached a lot of school districts throughout New England. And some of these schools were really open and happy that we want to come and test every incoming kindergartner.
But Nadine Gobb, lead investigator on the kindergarten study, told me she was surprised to discover that not all schools were on board.
We also had districts who said, I'm sorry, but we don't want you, because if MIT and Harvard diagnoses or identifies children at risk in kindergarten, and we don't have the resources to do anything about this, then parents will get really upset with us, and we would feel very guilty as well.
As this research becomes more definitive, it will remain an open question whether schools are able to take advantage of the science to test kids and intervene much earlier. Researchers aren't proposing that every kindergartner get an MRI, but they say if a child has a family history of dyslexia or exhibits signs of reading trouble, the cost of an early diagnostic brain scan may be far less than the price of playing catch-up after years of academic failure. I'm Rachel Zimmerman.
When our neuroscience series continues tomorrow, we'll hear about research finding that child abuse, sexual abuse, and neglect can damage developing brains.
What the brain research is telling us is this stuff has biological reality. That's a game changer.